Well, we've all heard horror stories about tourists in France coming up against that famous Gallic snootiness. But according to one American in Paris, that's a myth. Polly Platt says it's the tourists who need the work, not the locals. Now, she runs seminars, and she's even written a book to help outsiders living in France. And who better to fill us in on the subject than Basic Black's Canadian in Paris, Amy Serafin. Bonjour, Amy.
Bonjour, Arthur.
Now, how long have you been living in Paris?
Well, I'm just coming on 2 years.
Yeah? And have you run into the big chill any time in that 2 years?
Well, you know, when you first arrive in France, what's shocking is what a hassle it is just to get normal things done. Things like opening a bank account or getting your phone connected or even just asking for an extra order of French fries in a restaurant.
So, Amy, it sounds like there must be a market for what this Polly Platt is offering.
There's definitely a market. At her seminars, she gets lots of upper management business types who have been transferred to France. And now her book is a bestseller in English bookshops here. It's called French or Faux, Getting the Most Out of Living and Working in France.
French or Faux. Mm-hmm. Now, I mentioned in the introduction that Polly does not subscribe to the stereotype of the French being aloof and rude. How does she explain the problems that visitors almost always have when they go to France?
Well, she says when North Americans move to France, they think it's going to be paradise. It's going to be just like home, but they're going to get here and the food's going to be better and the women are going to be more beautiful. And then they arrive and they're lost because she says French society has more in common with Imperial China than with the rest of Europe or North America.
Really?
It's hierarchical. There are strict rules of behavior, and these date right back to Louis XIV. So we have to learn these rules. I'll let her explain some of them.
Some of them are very, very simple. Don't smile at strangers. They will find that this is very peculiar, and they will feign that you're making fun of them if you do. If you have some kind of incident, a complicity with a stranger, that's different. Then they smile wonderfully. But when they're walking down the street, not talking to somebody, they look extremely grave. It doesn't mean that there's anything wrong. It just means that that's the way you look in public here. Then you must shake hands with people here, people you have any business with. People that you know socially, you must shake hands when you meet them and when you leave, every time, every day, but not more than once a day. One of the managers of one of my seminars in California, I don't think he'd shaken many hands in his life before, and he heard me saying this in one of my seminars, and so he very carefully shook his boss's hand when he saw him the next day, and in the morning, and again in the afternoon, and saw his boss, looked at him a little peculiar, then he saw him a second time in the afternoon, and so he shook it a third time, and this time the boss said, "But Jim, we already saw each other today," in a rather shocked voice.
I think I can handle these rules too, Amy. They don't seem too tough. You wipe the goofy grin off your face, and you remember to shake hands, but no more than once a day.
Exactly.
Well, what else do you have to know?
Well, you get brownie points for adding madame or monsieur to everything you say. So it's bonjour madame, au revoir madame, da da da. You've got to hold the door for people, and you defer to somebody of a higher status before walking through the door. And if you really want to be accepted, Polly says, just to get a dog. A friend of hers got a dog named Sasha, and soon after he received a dinner invitation, but it was addressed first to Sasha and then to Sasha's master and mistress. And he said he wasn't even sure the people knew what his name was.
Higher status, obviously, there. But love of dogs aside, Amy, the French are known as great lovers. Does romance come into play at all in the ordinary day-to-day situations?
Yes, yes. It's a very, very passionate country. And one of Polly's golden rules is to flirt in just about every circumstance.
You'd get your head slapped off if you tried that in Toronto.
Oh, not here. Here it gets you anything you want.
This country is about the joy that the sexes take in each other's society, presence. They really are happier when a person of the opposite sex is around. And therefore, if you want to get anything done, in an airport or in a bank or in a post office, you choose the agent who is from the opposite sex, and then you don't openly smile and all this, but you flirt with your eyes and make it clear that you realize that he's a man, you're a woman, or the opposite. And things go much more smoothly. This is the French that sort of bathe all day in this sort of wonderful bath of I won't call it sex, but it's excitement, if you want. My favorite example is my husband, Andy, at the airport when he's very overweight. He simply goes to the prettiest airline check-in agent, and when she puts his very heavy suitcase on the scales, he puts his foot on it so it reads about 100 kilos overweight. And of course she cracks up and laughs and says, and waves him through. That's that.
And it always works?
It always works.
I think I could get used to that, Amy. That sounds positively civilized.
It's very nice.
Yeah. I can see where that might work, in neutral territory, but what if somebody, like you go into a store and you get a sales clerk who's a real barracuda, you know, they're hostile? Yeah, flirting's not going to work too well then, right?
Well, that's a little bit trickier. I was once in a situation like that here. I went into a shoe store, and I have really sensitive feet, so I like to try a pair of shoes on for a while, make sure it's comfortable before I drop $200.
Right.
So I tried on a pair, and I wore it for about 10 minutes. And then I said to the lady, well, I wasn't sure about the fit. Could I just try on a bigger size? And she said, no. Not only that, I couldn't try on any more shoes because I had already wrecked this pair, and she didn't even know how she was going to be able to sell it. So I told her she was horrible, and I left. Now, Polly says I might have been able to avoid that hostility in advance.
What should you have done then? I would have done exactly what you did, if not worse.
She says that the idea of customer service has not hit France. The customer is not king here. Uh-huh. The attitude's more like, who needs another customer? So I had to make the saleswoman care about me and my special situation. And there's something Polly calls PPO, which stands for Persistent Personal Operating. It means you first have to reach people on a personal level. You always start with the 10 magic words, which are, excusez-moi de vous déranger, mais j'ai un problème. This means, please excuse me for bothering you, but I have a problem. And then what I should have done is launched into this great big song and dance about my feet, my job, my life, why it's so incredibly important that I find a pair of shoes which fit me just right, or I'm going to lose my job and end up in the street. She says the French love drama.
So
they love to laugh.
You can make things up as you go along? It doesn't have to be necessarily the truth?
Yeah, you can go right to town. The thing is to get them, just to draw them in, to take the time and the energy to charm them, and then you're fine.
Yeah. So make it really dramatic, if not melodramatic, eh?
Oh, yeah.
Is there one complaint that Polly hears about all the time from foreigners in France?
There is. She says foreigners always complain that they never hear the words, I'm sorry for the French. But here's Polly's response.
Well, it's not quite true, but they don't hear them in the same way that they hear them in America. And they don't, for instance, the I'm sorry ballet doesn't take place here. When I spill something on somebody's foot, I say I'm sorry, and the other person will probably say, oh no, I'm sorry, it was my fault, I shouldn't have had my foot there, or whatever. And we all know whose fault it is, but we each say it isn't our fault, and then we get on with it, and we sort of expect it, particularly if you're playing bridge or any other game with your partner, you expect the partner to say, well, no, it's my fault, and then you go back and forth with this. But this ballet does not take place in France, nor in Austria or Italy or various other countries, but it particularly doesn't seem to strike people that it doesn't take place here. And I think that is because, as a professor of the Sorbonne told me, on n'a pas droit à l'erreur en France. One does not have a right to make a mistake here. Therefore, you don't make them. And if you do make one, then, of course, the temptation is to say you didn't make it, or to say that the other person made it, or to just tilt the thing in some way or another. So that it has happened in my house that a French person spilled wine this time on my beige couch and said that, well, what a silly color for a couch. Red wine should have been a red couch, and then it wouldn't have mattered. Whereas an American spilled wine on my rug and instantly whipped out his checkbook and said, will $100 cover the cleaning? And this is the American, Canadian, English reaction. And that just isn't the reaction here.
That's amazing. Obviously, confrontational style is completely out. That's bizarre. And I guess you can't get much farther away from that than Canadian experience, because somebody wants to find a Canadian as a person who, when you step on their foot, they say they're sorry.
Yep, apologizing to bank machines.
That's right. It sounds like this Polly Platt has pretty much figured out what makes the French people tick.
Yeah, she has. Even the French people who have read her book agree with her.
Huh.
Of course, she's been here for 30 years, so she's gotten to know them, and she's developed a real fondness for the French. And she says once you learn how to relate on their terms, they'll do anything for you.
Did this, as a two-year veteran, did this book come as a revelation to you? Have you tried it out?
It opened up my eyes to things that I had begun to sort of sense.
Yeah.
But I hadn't really put my finger on what they were.
But I guess you're just going to be cruising from here on in, eh?
Yeah, well, I don't have any plans to get a dog, but I think I'm just going to keep working on my flirting.
And maybe another pair of shoes.
Yes, or two.
Thanks, Amy.
Thank you, Arthur.
That's Amy Serafin.